Thank you. So do I have a motion to approve the minutes as submitted?
We approve as submitted.
Thank you, Bill. Second, please. I'll second. Barbara, okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? None. Motion carries 6-0-1. We do have a member absent or tardy right now, Ms. Johnson, so there's six members here for the secretary. All right, very good. That brings us to item B1. That's the business items, and we will have a brief finance update from our finance director, Ms. Jennifer Calway. So whenever you're ready,
okay. Go ahead. Thank you. I'm writing notes because I actually have a lot to report this month. So first off, at the last CFAC meeting, the recommendation was made to have the WRF report submitted quarterly. Council discussed that at this past council meeting and approved that recommendation, so that's why it's not in the packet before you today. Secondly, we received notice this week, and we received the GFOA Outstanding Reporting Award for our CAFR document. So we received the paper award, and we're going to be getting a plaque to hang in the wall. It's in about 10 weeks. So that's kind of breaking news, and thanks to Sandy and all of her hard work in getting that done. Let's see, at the next council meeting, the council will be discussing, it's not an action item at this point, it's the start of the discussion on advisory handbooks. So there may be some conversation on CFAC on Tuesday. Also, the agenda includes an item for a consultant agreement for polling and community outreach for a possible tax measure on the next ballot. So I thought that might be interesting for the council or for the committee to listen to. We held two community meetings on the proposed fee study that we did, heard a lot of feedback, and that's scheduled to go back to council at the end of September. There is a online survey through our POLCO that you can access on the city's webpage and answer about four or five questions on that fee study update. We'd appreciate your feedback on that if you're able to do that. And then lastly, city staff is working through the year-end close process and have our auditors on site for end of October. We'll be here to wrap up the audit for this year. So that's what's happening in the finance world as of now.
Thank you, Jennifer. Any questions or comments from anyone? So the agenda for next Tuesday's meeting is going to include, if I understood correctly, all the advisory board policy handbook updates, as well as the fee study. That would probably be out, this Thursday or Friday, if we want to comment?
The agenda should be out Thursday, maybe Friday morning. It will not include the fee study. It will have the advisory board discussion item and also a discussion on tax measures and community polling, see where the community sits on that.
Okay, thank you. So members, look for that later this week. And if you can't make the meeting, maybe you might want to comment. Okay, thank you. Okay, let's move on then to the fiscal year 2019-20 budget brief. That's agenda item B2. We discussed this last month in terms of the previous year's budget brief, and I believe we instructed or asked Jennifer to update it with this information, and I think you did. There were a couple minor updates that looks like this final version has the corrections in it. So I'll open that up. Jennifer, if you have any comments first, and then we'll go into discussion.
No comments. It's the same as in the prior year with the updates or the corrections that Mr. Alexander and Mr. Beckman pointed out via email.
Okay, thank you. Open up for discussion here. Did everybody have a chance to review it? Everybody satisfied with it? Any general comments? Go ahead, Homer.
I apologize for not doing this at the last meeting, but I think this is a terrific document, and I know that a lot of people spent a lot of time putting it together. But I have a really disagreement with the data on the far right, the citywide information. I think it's very misleading. The city's revenue is just over $36 million, not 58, and I realize that it's the way that it's been displayed with the funds, et cetera. I'm not sure how the, assuming this document's for the average citizen, I'm not sure how they would understand where $31 million came from in transfers. And on the expense side, the fact that this is indicating there's a $94 million budget, as you mentioned just a few seconds ago, the city is considering a sales tax increase. And even though somebody is going to see this and is going to say, wait a minute, they've got $94 million and they want another million out of me. And I'm not sure that listing all the various funds for where the cash is really necessary. I think that citizens are more interested in what the total is, not that the utility discount program has got $387,000 in it. But to complain without a solution is not a good idea. So I've actually come up with an alternative that I think is more meaningful for the committee to consider. Oh, sorry.
Did you get one? Do you have one for the staff?
Yeah, I've already given it to
you. Oh, okay.
I already have one. Thank you.
Better.
And the audience.
Oh, okay. All right. Go ahead.
Well, all you can see is I've cut and paste, where I just got rid of the citywide stuff completely and replaced it with something that I thought was more meaningful and fills the space.
Okay, so I'll make some comments because it's interesting, and I didn't talk to Homer about this, but when I reviewed this, I started with the back and the definitions, and I thought all that was good. You know, small print, if somebody wants to read it, it's there. But when I got to the right column, and I know we've had so much discussion in trying to balance it, and then I thought, you know what? Who is our audience? What are citizens interested in? They're interested in the general fund, what it's spent on, and maybe now the water fund, and the categorization. I thought that was good because labor is 72-73%, so people need to know that. If you're going to make cuts, that's where those cuts are going to come from predominantly. But I thought, well, we did this last year, and we have it already, you know, so I was kind of debating about even bringing that up. But thank you, Homer, for doing that. My idea to fill up the space was just to make things a little bigger. So, but I kind of like that. When I look at the water fund, charges, that it's so basic. Charges for service, okay, almost $8 million, 7.9. Transfers from reserves that we've been saving for, and proceeds from loan. That's what we have right now in our water fund, and then how we're going to use it. So I actually like what Homer suggested, but let me hear from some other members. I know it's kind of quick to look, but on first brush, compare the third column, what he's presented, which is a potential solution, to what we have previously done with this, including all the transfers.
I think it's much better. I don't understand yet why the uses of funds are, you know, like, 4,000 less than the sources of funds. What happens?
Actually, believe it or not, these are really good numbers. I mean, I got them all to balance. The difference is what is being transferred to back to the reserve account. I'm not quite sure. Ms. Calloway would have to answer this, but yeah. Why we're transferring money from the accumulation account to the summary and then back again. But anyway, the difference is actually surplus. And these three all balance with what's in the budget.
That's even better.
I certainly appreciate, like you say, having an alternative rather than just saying I don't like what's there.
Yeah.
If I had to pick between the two, I would personally pick the one that Jennifer had. That being said, I have talked for probably 2 years about my concern about the basic funds where the budget is $20 million less than what this would suggest. And Jennifer basically 2 years ago, or less than that, whatever it is, she adopted what had been put in place. So it's hard to change this overnight with the accounting that's there. And I think I agreed that that part was discussed before. So this isn't like a new item. We, in the last couple of meetings, we've talked about this, if not 6 months. And I would hope that next year there would be, when we talk about the revenue and expenditures, the transfer issue would be stripped out in some fashion. I mean, there's two ways to look at your budget. The allocations are always there, but it does overstate what we're actually, the money that we have to deal with. So that part I totally think needs to be addressed. Whether or not what you propose does that, I'm not sure that it does.
Well, it was just to fill up the space with something that I thought was totally misleading.
Or too hard to comprehend, and then people get very confused.
Well, and I think that somewhere along the line, I do remember a conversation here about how many numbers are on this page. You know,
we absolutely had that, and I know I think Lois's comment, who's not here, was that, hey, is this too much? If you overwhelm them and give them too much information, guess what? They won't read any of it. Well, they being our audience.
But this doesn't show the full budget. I mean, so it's maybe somewhere in between here.
Right.
Somewhere I think it would be nice to know what is the money we're dealing with total that's being raised and how much is being spent and stripping out the transfers. So you've simplified it, but you've eliminated the awareness and understanding of what that total is.
I totally agree with you, but having gone through this a couple years ago with Ms. Slayton, getting this to the point where a citizen from let's keep in mind 99% of the people looking at this are from the private sector. And, to understand the fund accounting and the way the numbers move around is challenging for everybody. And I didn't have the nerve to go ahead and suggest that they actually try to do it the way that you and I would project it. That's why I took this approach versus trying to to really come up with citywide revenue, showing both the revenue that comes from the outside plus the revenue from reserves, mm-hmm. less the expenses, and it really gets pretty screwy when you start moving around money into funds and stuff like that. Does that make sense, Bart, at all?
It makes sense. I guess my concern would be there's a lot of things that Jennifer and company are going to have to be dealing with. We have seen versions close to this for 3 or 4 months. I'm not sure when you saw the first one, plus it's similar to what was here last year. And to make such a radical change at this point, we could. Plus, I'm not personally sure I would agree with what you've condensed it down to. Others may, but we're talking about now, then sending them back again. They've got to check the numbers, make sure they're all right. I'm not sure that that's when we've had an opportunity to kibitz on this before. Not you can't still do it. That's fine.
Okay, so that's an opinion. That's fair. Thank you. Anybody else? John, Dave, or Bill?
Yeah, Jennifer, can you make a comment on what do you think of this? I just think it's very understandable. I would almost think you could just eliminate that whole page, but then people would say, oh, where are the services I'm paying for? Where's that money? But that's included here. So,
for the major services, the major funds at least.
Yeah, and keep in mind that next year, a couple of these columns that are blank are going to have numbers in them.
The loans, yeah, that's what they want to know, what the debt service is and how the cash balance is coming down.
Well, the proceeds from loans is going to show up.
So I guess I could offer a couple thoughts. So this is really something that the committee is recommending and working on, so I think it should be a reflection of what you feel is most understandable for the community from a citizen's perspective. Keeping that in mind, you can certainly take what Mr. Alexander's done and what we have based on the 18-19. You can make recommendations today. You can form a CAS subcommittee and work on it and come back in September if you want. You'd started along that process, I think, before. And you can do something even totally different from this. You can, make up something all your own. Just today there was something that came out on our listserv from another agency looking for companies that would do something like this. And they could give them the data and they'd make it into a kind of a citizen-friendly, easy-read document. So there's many different pieces of brochures or documents or whatever you want to call it that you could do. So I think, you can take Mr. Alexander's suggestions. We can change that. We could do a hybrid of the two and eliminate the significant projects on the back and the council goals and put the total city budget information back there and then keep the water, sewer, harbor fund in there as well. So there's a couple different options. And it's up to you if you want to form a committee and kind of redo that and come back in September or...
I think that 5-6 of this is very good. It's just... If you want to go ahead, Bart, and you insist on leaving this stuff here, change some of the words then. The city's revenue is not $58.5 million. Call it something else.
We'd have to get into, we could break it out with the debt proceeds or that kind of thing for WIFIO. That's what's included in there is the estimation for the wharf.
I just think we have to really focus on who our audience is. We are trying to communicate, and even though all of us have, more detailed background in our areas of expertise, Joe Blow citizen is just looking at, I pay these big bills, I pay my taxes, where does it go? And that's why I'm for simplification. I also want to get something out there because I think there's a lot of decisions coming up soon that people need to understand, and so having this simplified, I've seen other cities, because we've been working on this for years now, actually, with your predecessor, and looking at what some of the other cities, some of them just put a little dollar bill on the website and cut it up into pieces, and it's one page. We have a lot going on in this city for a small city this size. We want to communicate that, but we've got to recognize we're not dealing with account analysts, CPAs, tax attorneys. We are dealing with citizens that want to know, and rightfully, where their tax dollars are being spent. So I do like Homer's. If a small subcommittee wants to do something quickly, that's okay. I just get concerned. Last time we did that, it took 6 months and a lot of time from the accounting staff.
I think we don't want to spend more time get something out rapidly, and I think we just adopt Homer's recommended changes and just move that we propose this to the city as the change they make to the pamphlet and use those numbers that Homer's put in. If they have to tweak them a little bit, fine, but just basically that simple format.
I would second that motion. I think it's an excellent start. How about any further discussion, amendment?
One more on this, okay. You responded, I sent you an email regarding the cash balance, the $17 million versus the third quarter cash report. Mm-hmm. And I didn't, be honest with you, I didn't quite understand your answer.
So, Homer, why don't you repeat what your question was so that everybody...
The question was, is the... investment report on March 31st showed a invested or liquid, well, for all intents and purposes, liquid cash of $25.7 million. And now, according to the budget brief, it's $17.8 million. And it just seems like in 90 days, that's a pretty significant burn rate, considering that you do have income coming, I mean, revenue coming in during the fourth quarter.
So when we do the March investment report was as of March 31st, 2019. The estimated 6/30/19 was when we were adopting the budget, which was, you know, April-ish timeframe. At that point, we were still anticipating more rapid progress on the wharf. The wharf budget was $9 million in 18-19. Mm-hmm. So $9 million 17, you're about $25 million. And that was the difference, is we assumed significant progress in that estimated 18-19 number. So part of it is the difference of timing, and part of it is that's an estimate.
I'm assuming now you know the June 30th cash balance?
We know the cash balance. We don't know the fund balance.
Would it make sense to...
And that's a recommendation you can make. The challenge becomes... when you start looking at one document with a different number than the budget document, and then it's the same question, right? Why doesn't this one match?
We have more money than this document says. It's the good news, right?
Right. Okay. Better that way
right now
than the other way.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, one other change, and I wrote this in my email to Jennifer, property tax and VLF backfill taxes are separate lines here, but in the city budget they get combined. I think it would be very helpful to always combine them, because I mean the true revenue that the city, the biggest source of revenue is the numbers of people and property that we have in the city. Because too many people look at this and say, gee, we just need to go ahead and get more people staying in the hotels. But if they got to see the property tax combined with the VLF backfill tax, which is really a function of how many people you have, and that's really our biggest source of revenue for the city is the taxes.
So just to clarify, VLF backfill and property tax are separated out in the financial summaries. Where they're combined is in the roll-ups for the 10-year forecast.
Yeah,
and I think that's what you were looking at in the transmittal letter. So the 10-year forecast was done by the consultants and was meant to be a fairly summarized view of what our revenues were. I don't mind to break it out, but that's why they're different. I'm not sure if you want it broken out in the revenue categories for the budget, as it might be helpful to see some of the distinctions, but that's certainly a recommendation you can make for future budgets.
If this is for the citizens of the city, it's best, I think, to put them in. When they look at the top number, it isn't hotel taxes, not the biggest source of revenue for the city. I mean, it's the combination of property, automobiles that gives us the greatest number.
Point of order, Madam Chair, I would recommend that we split these two items. There was a motion and a second.
Yeah.
Good job.
And I would think Robert,
we're still in discussion, and I want to open up for public
comment.
But
the discussion, though, is not... nothing to do, what he brought up in discussion had nothing to do with this.
Right, no, I'm sorry, I'm not clear. We are still in discussion
on
actually
the motion. That's fine, but that discussion was not pertinent.
Okay, and I think some of the questions were maybe somewhat related to what goes on this, so maybe he would amend his motion after this, I'm not sure. But anyways, so that's correct. We thank you. We have a motion on the floor to use this as is, as Homer has proposed. So I'd like to open it up to public comment in case there's any public comment on this item. Please come forward, state your name, optional, and city of residence.
Cindy Batant, Morro Bay. And I'd like to speak on behalf of Joe Blow Citizen. I'm not a financial person per se, and so I really would like to support what Homer has done here. I think for me personally, this really tells me what I want to know without trying to weed through and understand concepts that are a little beyond my wheelhouse. So I just wanted to support the committee adopting this, as Homer put it forward. Thank you.
Thank you for your comments. Any other discussion on before?
Yeah, I do like Homer's format. It's pretty simple. Of course, by adopting that, then you don't see some of the other things that are in the original. But I do have an issue with the original, including or kind of lumping together loan proceeds and internal transfers. That, you know, the loan proceeds show up as just revenues, and of course, in people's minds, revenues are monies that you've earned, and that's not really true with loan proceeds. So, yeah, I never really have cared for the format that was in the original here because it's so vastly overstated. So I would like something a little simpler, like what Homer has put together here. I think this is more, much more clear to the average person.
Thank you, John. All right, so is there any further discussion on the motion to use the suggestion that Mr. Alexander has proposed for just the one column of the budget brief?
Just to make sure, relative to John's point, he used the word like Homer's, but we're voting on Homer's, not something like Homer's. Is that correct?
Yes. That's the motion that was made, yes. You're right. We could use something similar, but the motion on the floor is to accept what Mr. Alexander has suggested. Staff would, presumably that's a fairly straightforward, easy enough adjustment, amendment to make, and if staff concurs that they can easily make that, then we would use Homer's suggestion for our budget and brief versus what's on our agenda for today. Dave, please.
I have one minor comment here. Under personnel, I'd like to see that.
Oh, your microphone on?
It's on.
Oh, okay. They're not hearing, I guess.
I'd like to see that remain under the personnel, authorized funded positions, elected officials. Unless it's somewhere else on the document.
No, unfortunately, Homer's capabilities with Word and Excel and cut and paste, that just didn't work. So I'm assuming that that's something that will work, and there may be even be a header on this that would say enterprise funds or something like that.
Okay, so just to clarify then, and if the maker of the motion agrees, you would like to add a header for enterprise funds at the top, but also somewhere in this brochure, perhaps it's on the backside, keep the personnel data.
Yeah, it was just my inability to make it work.
Cutting and pasting over stuff is not the easiest, but the maker of the motion would have to
amend his motion. And thank you, Dave, that was a very good catch. Will you amend that, Bill, to include?
Amend the motion to include adding enterprise funds.
Oh. Add enterprise funds in the top of the page that Homer has proposed.
And personnel section. I think that personnel is very important because I know in looking at those statistics over the years, the city's in many years had more than 100 personnel. So it just kind of puts things in perspective that it's even though things have maybe grown and gotten more complex, we have not increased the staff total headcount proportionately. In fact, it's decreased. So the amended motion that Bill made and Barbara seconded.
Does the seconder agree?
Pardon me?
Does the seconder agree to the amendment? Do you agree to the...
Yes, the second. The person seconding the amended motion agrees. Is there any further discussion on that motion? Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
All opposed?
No.
Okay, motion carries. Thank you all. 5-1, and then one person absent.
I do have some other comments on this.
Oh, did I go too fast?
No. Just not.
Oh, not related to the motion.
Generally.
All right.
Yeah.
Yes, okay. So we're still on this item. We do have a motion that we discussed and passed, but we're still on item B2, the budget brief. John, comments, please.
Yeah, so in the first column, the way that you show the revenues, you have the total revenues and then transfers in and then total revenues and transfers. I like to see that same format on the expenditure side both by department and by category, so that you actually see that the general fund is spending more in new money than it's receiving, but the transfers are making up the difference. I think it's having the consistent format helps people understand that. You see, in the other two, the transfers out are just kind of embedded in with the rest of the items instead of broken out separately.
Seems reasonable. Everybody okay with that? Did you get that, Jennifer?
I got that. Is that going to be by consensus, or do you want to make a motion to do that?
Can we just do it by consensus?
Everybody agrees, I think.
Everybody. Okay. Does all agree?
Yes.
Yes. Bart, you? Okay. We've all agreed.
I spoke out of turn before, but the other change, just to combine property tax and VLF tax in one line and then still have the explanation on the bottom, but at least it puts tax on the top. I think that's helpful for the community.
I have a question about the...
Any discussion? Wait, I want to make sure I understand. What are you saying? You want the vehicle license fee bundled in with the property tax? Or just
yes,
rearrange the order?
No, just bundled in with it. Property tax plus VLF tax. And then underneath, you can explain what VLF tax is.
Since that was part of the triple flip, is that end?
It was supposed to.
Soon?
No, the triple flip was the... I'm drawing a blank.
It's a complicated...
The triple flip did end, but that was...
I thought that ended about a year ago?
Oh,
I know the sales tax portion of it ended.
Right.
But,
oh, okay.
But I thought the VLF was also part of the triple flip, too.
I don't believe there's any end date for that. I haven't seen that. I only was aware of the sales tax portion.
So let's think about Bill's suggestion. He's suggesting we combine it because technically they are both a property tax. But again, how do the citizens think of this? The property tax most people think of is what you pay on your property tax bill for your real estate versus the vehicle license fee is what you pay when you register your vehicle. So... is there an advantage of combining that, or should people see that separately? I think they raised that VLF over the years too, as well. So, I don't know. Do you really want to bundle that together, or?
Yeah, my objective in doing that is just to show the average person who reads it. Me being one of the average people, in the beginning I saw it and I was running around telling people hotel tax is the biggest source of revenue for the city, as opposed to there's a large group that really are pushing to keep the city small without any growth, but yet a future in the city is very much, I think, dependent upon getting some reasonable growth.
Ms. Calloway, are those reported to you separately and at different times?
They are.
Oh, that's interesting. At different times, then if we try to combine it, might.
Well, so the numbers are the same. I think you have a couple options here. You can keep it as it is. You can combine it. We could do a broad property tax category and do like a subpart with VLF so that you can see property tax totals this much of that VLF is 1.2, 1.1 million.
Great suggestion.
So Bill's in agreement with your suggestion. The rest of you are okay with, it would still show up on the top. It would just, that's what you want, really.
I'm not going to lose sleep either way, but
yeah.
Jennifer, if you were going to explain this to someone, would you explain this vehicle fee as a property tax? I mean, if you're trying to tell somebody how are you paying this, would you
no,
see them
it's
come
in lieu,
buying them?
Yeah, it's in lieu of property tax is how it's connected. And, you know, the other option is to back it out of property tax in the 10-year forecast and just create it as a separate line item.
I guess if you can do what you suggested a second ago to Word, maybe that's the footnote that has it in there, so you put it together and it's there. And what Bill's, I think, getting at is he sees it as a property tax, and then it goes up in the hierarchy of the list.
Right.
That's where he's coming from, my sense. So as long as is that the way everybody sees it, this is truly, really is a property tax?
Well, we see it as a revenue that is generated based upon the numbers of people who live in our city. You know, part of it is an assessment on the number of vehicles we have. The other is on the property, land property that we own. And, of course, the vehicle tax that you pay each year is a function of the value of your car. You know, somehow they have simplified it into a backfill VOF tax.
For what it's worth, the CAFR actually combines them. So I'm looking just in the statistical section. Well, it combines all the taxes together on some of the statements, but then in the stat section, it actually combines both of them under the heading of property taxes. And then there's actually a notation on page 152 that says property tax contains general fund net property taxes and in lieu property taxes, sales and VLF.
Thanks, John. That's a good point. So are we okay with combining it, Jennifer, maybe?
Sure. You combine and then note down at the bottom what the...
Yeah.
Okay. Is everybody in agreement with that?
Is everybody in agreement with that by consensus?
Yes.
Yeah. Thanks. Okay. Then let's do that. And in line with keeping it somewhat simple, but yet consistent with how the CAFR does it. Thank you, Bill. Good suggestion. All right, are there any other comments on the budget in brief? Okay, thank you. Good job, Jennifer. Thank you. I think we can make some progress on this, okay?
So are we happy with it after we make those changes, or do you want this to come back again?
I trust you to, I think, if Homer's verified the numbers and then you'll do a sanity check as well, I'm fine with getting it out. Is everybody okay with that?
Yep.
I mean, it'd be nice if you could just send us all a copy, but not for review and edit.
Yep, I can email it to you when it's done and then put it up on our website.
Okay, perfect. Because I think we talked last time, too. We could get this out on the website. You'll put it in the next survey. Maybe some of these public workshop or meetings and that, take a few, leave them in the back, and see what comments we get back. It's a start. It may not be the perfect solution, but we can revise. Go ahead.
How much does it cost to print 5,500 of these and stuff them in the water bill?
Rob told us before, like 2,500 or something.
600? I'd have to check. I want to say the inserts are about 600, but I'm not sure for color. So let me double check on that. And I can, when I email it out, I can email what it costs.
Did you say 600?
I want to say that is, but I could be wrong. I need to double check.
So each one of us could give you $100 and you'd put them in, right?
Each one of us could walk around and hang them on 400 doors. Okay. Okay, thanks. All right, so that will bring us to business item B3, discussion of meeting start time. And Homer, I'll let you start us off with discussion on that. I think that was your item from the last meeting. We asked everybody to think about that.
The reason I brought it up is that now that it's a full committee and a much more engaged committee than sometimes in the past, that when we have two significant things on the agenda, which happens 8 or 9 times a year, the WRF report, which I'm envisioning is going to get more complex as we start actually paying bills and things. If that is on the agenda along with a quarterly budget report, or the full budget, or the audit, I went back and looked at the minutes, and we are pushing right at, I mean, Scott Graham isn't here trying to make us go away. And I realize that not every meeting we run into the full, you know, 2.5 hours, but I don't know. I just thought we'd, you know, give us a little extra time. That's all.
Fair enough. Any other thoughts, please?
I'd like that. Barbara works. The rest of us are retired.
No, I'm retired now.
Okay, so.
Lois works. I talked to Lois, and Lois is on any meeting is.
Okay.
You know, it just depends on a disaster at work kind of thing, you know, okay. With her.
So I suspect none of us care and might prefer three, but you guys, whoever's coming, leaves work a half hour earlier.
Yeah.
And potentially where this is going, the reason we're doing this is we go a half hour or more. And you guys are paid city employees. So I guess I'd like to understand how this is impacting city employees.
Well, you know, let me interrupt. Just one would hope in running a good meeting, you adhere to a start time on time and you end on time. I mean, you have to do that if you're a busy person, and we tend to go longer. And the intent, the reason I like it is wouldn't get home at 7 at night. Maybe you get home at 6:30, more reasonable hour. But if we could combine the thought that start at 3 o'clock and try to hold it to end at 5 o'clock, that would be... Am I talking correctly? At 3 o'clock ending at 5 o'clock instead of 5:30?
I agree with the concept of trying to keep it at 2 hours. But the point still is made, what's the impact on staff who come a half hour earlier? And if you're at the next meeting, then you've got to stick around for, I don't know, if you're here for the meeting after or not.
My response is probably going to sound a little flippant, but it's not meant to be. Mm-hmm. For the most part, the staff that attend these meetings are not hourly, so we get the privilege of coming when you need us and working as long as we need to work to get the job done. The exception of maybe one person that comes, whoever's taken minutes, is likely an hourly employee. So if it goes beyond 5, you know, there's some either overtime cost or comp time, or sometimes the employees just flex and come in a little later the next day or take that time, you know, later in the week. Starting at 3 versus 3:30, like I said, we come when you need us here and we get the privilege of working as long as it takes to get the job done. So I don't mean that flippantly, even though it sounds it. It would be different if we were all hourly employees, because then if we were extending our work day longer, there would be a cost to that. That is not to say when the WRF report comes, our consultant is hourly, so there would be some impact potentially to them.
If we go longer, but if we, the start time wouldn't matter.
The start time, right.
All right, so and I make a motion that we have the meeting start at 3 o'clock.
I second it.
I'm just going to, one more comment there. I think that the process for this, it's a timely discussion given that it will be presented to council on Tuesday with the advisory board discussion. So we would take your recommendation to the council and if there's any procedural things they need to do to approve that. I think that yours is a recommendation to council to start at 3.
Right, because there's another impact with AGP and everything else. So I think there is, there's a financial impact, because whether we end at 5 or 5:30 in terms of salaried employees going back to their work, they're going to be here half hour early. Scott Collins comes sometimes. So there's an impact to that in terms of labor. And let's not forget.
Okay, so the gentleman who's here, he's got to stick around for the next meeting. So
that's right.
We're paying him a half hour more?
We would pay starting a half hour earlier. Yeah.
They're under contract, Bart, fixed amount for the entire year.
So that's
okay.
So it doesn't matter. We would not pay any more. let's do it start at 1 o'clock then. He sticks around and no extra cost. I'm being flippant on myself.
I don't know. We're asking, yeah.
I believe they're based on meetings, how many meetings they cover. Not
the length
not
of the meetings.
Length of time.
Okay. So there's no cost for changing it to three?
No, there's no cost for AGP
Sir?
To change it. Need to clarify.
He's saying that's correct. It's by the number of meetings, not by the hours. So there wouldn't be additional cost if we started at three for AGP. Yeah. With the exception of hourly staff that might have to stay past five, mm-hmm. there would be an outlay of cash potentially for overtime. Mm-hmm. For the salaried staff that are here, it isn't an additional financial cost. It's a time cost in mm-hmm. that the half hour we're here is a half hour. We're not doing something else
That's
we
right.
normally would be doing. But in terms of a payment, yeah, it's
it
not.
It actually would save money. If we do what Bill wants to do and leave at 5, the hourly staff wouldn't get paid overtime, and Ms. Calloway could go home at 5 instead of 5:45.
So how's that going to save money?
Well, because our meetings have been running to 5:45, 5:50.
Okay.
So the hourly staff is paid until 5, and then after mm-hmm. 5 they're paid one and a half times, right?
Either comp time, overtime, or right. in some cases they flex.
Okay, so to make sure I understand the motion, is we will start the meeting at 3 and end promptly at 5. See, if we're going to start the meeting at 3 and continue to go longer, that's where I was coming
okay,
from.
I did not add that because I think that's a function of management of the meeting that we'll try to.
Okay.
But I think the main thing is we're starting at 3 unless discussion would say let's put it
if we start a half hour
five, then you get into the does somebody make a motion to go past mm-hmm. 5 o'clock and all that kind of stuff if we want to get which the city council does do we want to get into that sort of thing.
What about the committee after us? Would they want to start a half hour earlier as well?
I don't think so because a number of those people are professionals.
Okay.
Well, and maybe if I misunderstood, correct me, but I thought the intent of starting at 3 was so you'd have longer to get through longer agenda items.
That was the intent, actually.
So
that's why I thought there would be an increased cost one way or the other, whether it's your time and additional.
I would still say that the cost, because our hourly staff would be here past 5, whether you started at 3:30 likely or not. If the intent is that you have too much to get through
mm-hmm,
and you
mm-hmm.
can't get done by 6, you're likely going to butt up to that 6 o'clock end time, even if you start at 3 on those heavy agenda meetings.
Am I not mistaken, but other than the WRF committee, we're the only other committee that actually has a forced end date by the definition that there's another meeting coming after us?
I believe that's correct.
I'd like to backtrack on my comment. I think it is another advantage of starting at 3. Try to stop at 5, but then there are those times, as Homer pointed out quarterly, that you may need more time and would have the additional time. So it's another advantage of starting a half hour earlier.
And I have heard, I know in the past, a former member wanted us to start later, not earlier. It goes back to the working people. So that's good that Homer's, spoke with Lois, who is not here this evening. But just for future reference, if we have openings in the future and, you want professionals, that's why all the other ones don't start till 6. But then maybe that's something you address at that time and may have to move it to an evening. So I'll open this item up for public comment if there's any public comment. Seeing none, close public comment. Any other members have any comments or about the start time one way or the other? Okay. So, Bart, would you repeat the motion to make sure we have it correct, please?
And just to make sure it's clear, my motion does not include an end time. That's a management issue.
Mm-hmm.
I make a motion that the meetings officially start at 3 o'clock henceforth.
And Bill, you seconded that?
Yeah, I second the motion.
And again, just to clarify, it's a recommendation to the
right.
council
recommendation
that
to
we'll
council.
Take back to the council.
Okay. Any further discussion on that? All right, vote. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay, motion carries. The recommendation that we begin the CFAC meetings at 3 o'clock on the second, third Tuesday of the month. Recommendation passes 6-0, one abstention, absent. Okay, thank you. All right, number four. Are we ready? This is the business item B4, presentation and training of OpenGov Transparency Portal, finance director, and senior accounting technician.
So, yeah, thank you. Val's here. She really kind of led the implementation of the project. If the committee members are more comfortable coming down and sitting in the chair.
Should we adjourn the meeting and adjourn to the class so we don't have to come back up here and adjourn the meeting?
We're part of the agenda, so I think you, yeah. But feel free to come down here and move the chairs so you can see. If you have questions, I'll repeat them in the microphone so the audience can hear them. Or you can come up to the podium.
Okay.
Can you start from the home page?
Yes. That's where we're starting. Okay, here we go. So when you, I'm just going to walk through the module, show you how to hit on a few reports that we've set in there, and then if you have specific questions, just let us know and we'll walk through that with you. It's been updated at this point, AP through July, and the WRF as of yesterday's, any entries through yesterday, our WRF report. So when you go to the city's homepage, which is morrobayca.gov, and if you scroll down to the banner on the left-hand side, the very last option is OpenGov Morro Bay. You just select that. And we're going to have a little bit slow internet, so please be patient. This takes you to kind of an introductory page where you can watch a video that provided by OpenGov and how to use the report, or you can just go ahead and click on this link, OpenGov Morro Bay. You can also go type that in directly, but you can click on it there for ease. You do not need to have a login or anything like that. You can go through this tutorial if you'd like to, or you can just go right to view your report. So there's an annual report that covers expenses and revenues. If you hover over it, these are budget numbers. Anything with the hashtags on them are budget. Anything that is solid is actual expenditures or revenues to date. You can see it goes back to 2012 through 13. As you hover over any of those bars, you can see what the budget numbers were for 2012-13, same with the revenues, and then you can see what the actuals were. So you can go through that for any year you have. If you scroll down a little bit, there's the detail in numbers, so you can just see it. If you scroll over, you'll be able to see the other years as they're in here. You can also go back here and click on this, and it'll break out what the different types of revenues are. As you keep clicking on the items with the arrows, it'll break it down into our account codes. So you can kind of run through all of those account codes and see what was taken in. The same thing exists for the expenses.
Jennifer, is there a master listing of account codes somewhere?
Not on our website, there's not. We have a chart of accounts that we could list out the accounts if you're interested in seeing what those codes are.
How difficult is that?
It's
not something that's already in a document?
I started one when I first started, just so I have it as a reference, so I can try to go dig that out and see what we've added since then. Okay. Again, with our expenses, you can do the same thing. These are broken out into personnel and non-personnel. And you can see they have the expense codes in here, but if you're wanting to look up by a number, that's not the most convenient. All of our expense codes are broken out in by category. So our personnel costs, for example, are all four series. What I mean by that is where you see these numbers, an expense account will start with a four. Our services starts with five. Our contracts services start with sixes. Our supplies starts with five, and our contract services start with sixes. So they're all in various series.
Why are we looking at years 12, 13? I find it the same thing.
To scroll over.
You just have to.
You just scroll over.
Bill, down at the bottom here, you just scroll over. It's just so you can see on the little screen here. You just keep scrolling over, and it'll give you the years. You can sort this in any way that you like. If you don't like that graph, there's different graphs you can select. You can do pie charts. It's a little slow here for adjusting. You can arrange them any way you want. I think I might have froze. And then if you want, you can download it and put it into an Excel sheet if you want to be able to, manipulate it yourself or sort the data some way. You can do that right up here in the corner. If you want to change how it's listed, you can sort by either small to large, by the chart of accounts. There's a variety of different ways you can sort there. Over here, you can look at, these are the transactions. This is going to be similar to what we just looked at. These give you the account detail in here. The object code is our account. The fiscal year. So here you can sort by a fiscal year rather than looking at them all. And it'll tell you what fund number it went to. This is the name of the fund, if it's a revenue or an expenditure, the adopted a budget amount. If you like, you can scroll up here and look at different years, and you can click on any of these. And it will just select that gray part that we did down here and show you those are. You can also do that monthly. So that was by fiscal year. You can go through and sort it by the month as well for the current fiscal year. So this will tell you for July 19 through 20, the actual revenues and the expenses that we've had so far and the variances. And then we have a balance sheet. The good news is when you look at these, the assets and the liabilities, they all balance for each year. That's what they're supposed to do. And there's the detail down here below as to what is that. And again, anything with these little arrows, you can click on those and break it down, and it'll give you if it's a, you know, vehicle construction in progress, property resale, utility billings due, all the various balance sheet accounts. And you can go back to any year you would like for that. Probably the more interesting would be vendor detail. If you are looking for payments to a certain vendor, this would be the best place to come to, because you can sort by a vendor if you know their name. So once it loads here, while it's loading, you can see up here there's almost 74,000 rows. So there's a lot of data in here. So that's why it takes some time to load up.
So when you're looking at transactions, it doesn't show who the vendor is, it just shows the category, or I'm obviously missing something.
It you're a little bit ahead of me there. It had to get loaded here. So on this side, you can see the various fund or program that it was charged to, but if you come down here, you see vendor name. And if you know the vendor you're looking for,
come down where?
You just search on this arrow and type in a vendor. So we can use name a vendor that you're interested in.
What about Alsher and Wilster, Wyden?
If you can spell it, Alsher. So I'm not spelling it right because it would come right up. But if you can't, if you don't know how to spell it, when you click on one like this, you can just search for all of them like that. So I could find, that'll give you all the Avia financial ones. You can see where the various charges were to what fund. To clear that out, you just go back in here and hit clear. We should be able to see. Oh, I know why it wasn't coming. If we over here, the important thing to remember, and this is something I forget sometimes, is your GL date. So if we go back to 18-19, let's say, and do a GL date of, let's do 07-01-2018, to June 30th, 2019, hit OK. That'll give you all of last fiscal year's expenses that have been entered to date. And now if we search under Elshire, we know we paid bills that year, probably haven't paid them yet this year. And I'm back down over here, go over to vendor, let's see if we can get it to come up. Well, you can, it doesn't take too long, especially that one. So we pay them fairly regularly, so there they are right there. You just click on it and search that way.
We won't tell them. You all can't spell.
Spelling is my biggest weakness. It's the worst subject I did had in school. but there's all the Elshire reports. So again, pick your GL date, or you can leave it blank, and it'll just give you everything. But if you're trying to narrow down for a certain time period, remember to do that. If you want to clear it, you can just hit clear there, and it'll go back and give you everything that was loaded. If you're looking specifically at items charged from the wharf, we have gone back and loaded up from March of 2013, which is when they kind of started tracking this as a project, through to date. So it's actuals, and then, sorry, should come over here and see our 8/19/20 is super small because there hasn't been a lot of payments thus far. This is the summary. You can break it out. It'll tell you what accounts were charged. This is how the budget is broken out in the budget book, is broken out this way. Or if you're just looking for vendor detail, select that tab and come over here. On this report in particular, at this little spot up here in the corner, pick your fiscal year that you're looking at. So very few charges so far in 1920. If we go to 1819, you'll see more. And just like the other reports, you can search by name there. Or if you want to know, for example, the Ferguson Group, you just kind of hover over it and select it, and it'll sort for you.
Can you summarize the year-to-date by vendor?
By vendor? I don't think there is. I think you would have to download it up here with the share. Download the information and tally it that way. Let's see. We also
to expand, just like an Excel spreadsheet, for those familiar with Excel, you can go up and expand and contract those columns, because the description frequently is the one that you very likely would want to expand to see what's happening. And or the ones, if you want to print it, you can collapse it. That was something I needed, because you can't tell with the default width of that.
Yeah, and you can do that. That's a good point. Or you can do that with any of, if you want to know the account codes. The description is probably the most useful. And then I always forget to change this fiscal year if I'm looking just for one, you know, one specific thing in a fiscal year. Over on this side, there's various filters that you can have. You can kind of run your own breakdowns of items if you want. So you may be able to, fiscal year through June. If we were to go up here, Homer, onto annual, and then come back down here and filter. If we want to look at expenses, and then fund, if you know, unclear them all and go down to our wharf account. Oh, it's not going to be broken up. It's in the fund. Well, it actually, this should work. You might be able to sort it in here by nope. I thought you might be able to get your vendor totals in here. You can't. Oh, that's a good point. Let's try doing it under the vendor detail. You'll notice over here while I happen to be here, We do have Measure Q reports down here too that you can select. But if we go to filter vendor name, here you go. So you can sort by a vendor name. Let's say Ferguson Group. And there you have the records for that. Oops. Up here, there's a breakdown of vendors too. So like with Elshire, if you just pick on that one, it'll bring them up down here as well. It would probably take you a little longer to do that, but when you do it that way, there's your totals. So that's how, do you want me to run through that again? Are you okay? I hear silence. I'm going to assume you're okay. What else would you like to see? We go back to views. So we have a Measure Q detail in here. I have to clear out my filters.
How do you clear the filters?
There were little X's in those boxes that you just hit. My filter didn't clear out. Let's try it again.
Jen, there's three rows there. Measure Q, vendor. Are they all the same if you click on any one?
They should be all the same. It's not it's working on loading.
Oh, okay.
See if it comes up here. Yeah, there is a lot of data in here, so.
There is a caveat. This is not necessarily super current data. As you know, we looked a month ago, and the most recent invoice at that point received for Corollo was through January. Now there's one through June.
Yeah, we were updating about quarterly, and then there was an issue with the budget was in there multiple times, so it showed, you know, like $100 million budget or something like that for 18-19. So Val worked on getting that cleared up, and it's current now, but you're absolutely correct. It's not current day-to-day. There's a gap.
Because you have to manually go in and update all this. It doesn't feed from the finance.
We have not integrated at this point.
How frequently do you update it?
Typically, Val goes in about quarterly. But we did get behind when there was that budget issue in there, and we weren't wanting to update more until we figured out why it was counting twice.
And then keep in mind, quarterly for data recorded, for example, the Corollo invoices typically are paid about 2 months after the period that they're invoicing for, which is a combination of, I don't know how soon they invoice.
Right.
You know, they could invoice 2 months later.
Sure.
So there's a lag just because of the way the system.
Could be as much as 5 months is what you're saying.
It could easily be 5 months. Yeah.
So this is only items paid. It's not invoices that are.
Right. This is only things that have hit our financial system that we have paid checks for or received revenues from.
What is the real purpose of it? I mean, it becomes a nice, transparent tool for looking historically at what has happened. It's certainly not a tool for helping to manage a program.
The sole purpose of this was transparency. It was not intended to be a program management tool.
I think that's why I'm pointing this out. I think it's a very good tool for looking back to see how what's been spent, what's going on. You can see it all. It's not a project management tool.
They use their finance system.
Sure.
Is there something else that you're interested in seeing or going over again that would be helpful?
No, so you made the decision to take out all the passwords and the logon, so any citizen can go in and click and use it, correct?
So the passwords and the logons were before we became live. And that was just so that the committee members could go in and look at it and give some feedback before we did go live. Now it's fully live. Anybody can go on. You don't need a password. You don't need anything to do that.
Is that the way most cities implement it?
Mm-hmm.
Is that why my front page looks a little different because I'm going in through a password?
Probably, yes. Mine looks different too.
For the most part, it's like this, but it's slightly different.
Yep. Yeah, you don't need to log in through your password if you don't want to. You can go in on, you know, there's not any difference once with the data, but it takes a little bit of maneuvering, but once you figure out how to do the sorting and spend some time with it, it's not that difficult to maneuver around.
Are you and your staff using it?
We don't, well, I'll answer for me. I don't use it because I'm always logged into our financial system and can pull it up there. I know other departments have used it. I'm not sure all that frequently, but they used it, for example, when Amgen was here because a couple people from the clerk's office and I think from tourism were able to go in and just type in Amgen and get the project costs in the past years.
Has there been any discussion about interfacing this to the financial system?
We had talked about it early on. It's not expensive. It's a few thousand dollars, and it's probably something we need to do. We had, in the past year, multiple attempts at getting into our accounts through various fraudulent, you know, attempts, and that's caused me to be hesitant about doing any interfacing. And there's lots of ransomware out there now. I'm just cautious of that.
Would your staff use it?
The staff in the finance department, I don't.
Interfaced with the financial system versus just going into the financial system?
I mean, Val's kind of saying no. My inclination is that the finance staff is so accustomed to being live in our financial system that they wouldn't open up another program. I think the other departments that don't play around in our financial system frequently and aren't as familiar with it are the ones that use this.
If you can see if there is a way other than download to summarize numbers, that'd be great. I don't see how to do that here.
By vendor or by vendor, you mean?
Probably vendor. Maybe it's not that difficult to download. That may be another.
Yes, so let's try, let's do a vendor one and go through that one again and then see if we can download it. So go, if we go to vendor detail, and once it loads, 74,000 rows. You want to select over on this side over here, the filters. And then broken down by, scroll down a little bit here and pick vendor name. If you know their number, you can do that too. And then on this side, sorry, add a new filter up here. And again, put vendor name. And then type in your vendor. So if we did Ferguson Group, sorry, hit apply. Let's see if that matches. So when we come across out of here, so that you can tell this is all the Ferguson Group invoices. If you hover, so yeah, it is going to be one. This number down here is the total. And this breaks it for you by fiscal year.
How again did you do vendor name? Where do you do that? I guess I'm lost.
Val's reminding me, if you just select, if you click on that pink box there for 1819, it'll just narrow in the invoices for there and your records.
Oh, I see.
But then you should be able to take this BART and then download it up here.
I what you just read that way.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Is there anything else that you want to walk through?
How about the balance sheet?
Okay. You want to look at that again?
Well, I noticed that there's no data for fiscal year 18-19. So like, if you were to go there and just look at Measure Q.
Mm-hmm. So these are all actual numbers, and for the balance sheet, we weren't putting them in until we had the audit complete.
Okay.
So that's why 18-19 would be missing.
So take a look at just Measure Q on the balance sheet.
For 17-18?
Yeah.
I'm just going to select that one. Why is it negative? I'm not sure. We'll have to look. It's the cash. I'm not sure if it was the timing. I'm not sure. We'll have to look into that.
Wasn't that some sort of issue with the payment management plan? And
there was a loan one year that fronted because they did double and they couldn't pay it. It was a couple $100,000. They swapped it out. It was like 2 years ago we reported.
Right.
That would have been. I know there was about a $400,000 you used from 1 year to the next, but I'd have to look and see if that's the reason why.
Sometimes too much information can be.
It's definitely, we can tell here. It's a timing of the cash, because that's where it's all. Oh my goodness, this is a very sensitive mouse. That's where it's all hitting is in the 1001. Anything else? Any other questions, or do you want to look at something again? Is that helpful?
Yeah.
How about detail of the citizens paying water bills? Or are those, is that level of detail in here?
Yep. So if we go up to our monthly trip.
I was more of a question I don't need to ask. Can that be done then? And I guess a reason I'm asking it, I've had a couple of things. One on neighborhood North Morro Bay, someone complained about getting a $200 water bill and only used 2 units of water. Today, my wife was at a hairdresser and met some woman. She met there, Lois, somebody, ended up saying she didn't understand it, lives by herself, you know, and her water bill was $208, and she, you know, had what previously was 160 or something, you know, which, you know, now I would think it would be a very useful thing now to go through everyone in the city to see, is the average for 5 units of water, is the average bill now $191?
So you cannot pull up individuals' transactions on here. We don't share that information. So you can get a lump sum of how much water payments came in the month, but not broken down by an address or a property. Yeah. I would just caution that.
Oh, no, I'm not asking that I do it. I was just saying that the city should be doing that, or someone should be.
We went through every bill before it went out last month to make sure the charges were correct. We've had several people call in and have explained to them what their bills are. There are a variety of circumstances. It could be a multifamily residential, which has a different rate than a single family home. We use the average for a single family home, and many people are different than that. They're in multifamilies. They're in different circumstances.
Did 191 show up as the average for
I haven't looked at what the average is. We went through to make sure they were correct, because the average is based on average usage. Many people don't use 5 units. I mean, it just depends on. I can't tell you what the average usage was last month. I didn't look at that.
No, but if 5 units was the bill, 191.
Bill, I used 5 units, and my bill was 191.
Okay. It's very clear on the units surcharge in the bill. It's more a matter of is it applied correctly, and as she said,
and if it isn't,
through them all. Now, if you were to take an average during times, and this is the challenge of shortage, people use less, so the average could drop low. 191 is just what it would be for a typical family using 5 units.
Let me, you know.
Identify as a person is not there. They can see that in their systems. I don't know about address.
Right.
They can see that, but they stripped out of this going to find out, you know, how much Jennifer makes.
Okay. Well, the reason I brought it up, when someone knows you're on the finance committee, it'd be nice to be armed with information to say, yes, it's all been checked and people are paying what we advertised in 218.
So there's, you know, an example of a conversation today with a customer. Their bill came, it was more than they thought it would be. They were comparing it to the prior month, but they didn't use the same number of units of water. So in the month before, they used 1 unit. This past month, 2 units, and they got a higher rate than just the increase because they used more water. So every person's situation is different, and the circumstances are different. And it really takes us looking at the bill and walking them through what those rates are.
And the 5 units average is over 12-month period, so it's going to be higher in the summertime and lower in the wintertime.
And there are situations every month where there are problems unrelated to the rates. A leak?
Oh, no.
Several years ago, their bill went up by a factor of 5. Well, the meter reader read the next-door neighbor's meter. Another good friend of mine got a bill this last month, and it turned out that he was rated as a commercial customer, yet he's a single resident. But call the city, and the city comes out and checks it out, and, you know, the stuff like that.
And the Chamber of Commerce went through their business contacts and commercial five different, you know, great commercials. Right.
If anybody says my bill's crazy, you need to tell them to call the city and say, well, I got a problem, come and fix it.
And they won't.
And there's a pretty good chance they've got a leak.
Yeah.
On the wrong side of the meter.
Okay, any other questions on this? Mm-mm. Thank you, Jennifer. Excellent.
My plan. Set a good example. Well, we don't have two big things, so that's why. That's right, yeah, that's right. I'll tell you about that later, that interface. B4, okay, so this concludes item B4, thank you, Jennifer. Excellent presentation, and Valerie as well, on the OpenGov system. So that will bring us to item C, future agenda items for next month.
If I could just give a little preamble, just some basic facts. I'd like to compliment Barbara of having put out a memo to the city council and members and the mayor that was discussed at the city council meeting, and they did make the change to go reduce the number of meetings we would have to discuss WRF financials to just quarterly, although by consent they would look at it on a monthly basis. I went back and got the exact quote of what the city council said in January 8 when we were told that they're going to revise the CFAC roles and responsibilities to include review of the financial aspects of the WRF program. Ms. McPherson, our liaison to the council, briefed the CFAC on 2nd of February, and I quote from what she said, and it's on YouTube, because of your financial expertise, and we really could provide overarching financial oversight, reviewing all quarterly reports and programs, and alert the city council if we look at anything that goes awry. And Barbara's memo was an example of that. Last quarterly, we gave a report. We don't need to have monthly. Quarterly is enough. So because memo is being written, I think worked better. You could pass this down, and I have a copy for Jennifer as well. I propose a motion that.
Do you have any more copies?
Yeah. Okay, I'm sorry.
That's okay.
No.
Thank you.
Everybody have one? Yeah. The motion is after receipt of each quarterly report, WRF quarterly report, the CFAC will provide the City Council with a memorandum to accept the WRF report with any recommendations for improvements to the report in the future, if applicable, alert the City Council of any financial concerns. So pretty straight pablum, but it just would say on a quarterly basis after we review the report. Am I giving you the right one?
Yeah. Well, we're on future agenda items. That's right. Why some of us are confused. So we're asking if there's anything we want to put on for a future item, as opposed to we're not discussing the CFAC role at this meeting or the WRF project quarterly report, unless I'm misunderstanding something.
Yeah, so I think the WRF is not an agendized item, so it's not something you can make a motion on. You can recommend putting it on the next council meeting to discuss if you'd like to do that.
If we modified it a little bit, and I mean, we didn't have on the agenda last meeting where we made motions and forwarded, you know, the whole idea of writing them down and forwarding to the city council. was not on our agenda, yet we did it.
Well, the motion that was connected to the agendized item of the WARF report, though. So you had an item that was agendized. So the point of having something agendized is the public has an opportunity to come and can speak on it if they like to. This wasn't an agendized item. So,
well, is there any way that we could reword this a little bit without having to go for another month that would say we want to have something in writing on every major report that we review?
Well, item three is review the WARF capital
that was
project
item,
report.
Yeah, that was item three from the last meeting, though. So you can only talk about stuff that's agendized for this meeting, which was the budget brief, the minutes, and the open gov.
So I'm not sure we need something.
I could offer that if you would like. The chairman or any member of the committee can come to the council meeting on Tuesday where advisory board is going to be discussed, and you can speak as public comment on that.
Here's a very efficient way to get around that and just give this to the council beforehand.
I understand that, but we're tied legally by the Brown Act, and so there's only so much we can do within the scope of that.
Homer's bringing up another point, whether that has to be put off or not, which is probably a good point. In other words, this is a more generic issue, whether it's a CAFR review or a view of
do we actually write a report and submit it to the city council, which is, I think, what we should be doing anyway, rather than in the past it's gone through the city
so
staff.
So irregardless of what the topic is, though, there is nothing agendized related to that on this council, on this meeting agenda. So there isn't any action you can make unless you would like to come and speak, knowing that it's a agendized item at the council meeting Tuesday. You're all welcome to come and speak in public comment on that.
Well, that's why I asked on the rule for the advisory groups when the agenda was coming up, because then if maybe some of us may want to come, we won't have a meeting, so you can't come and represent the whole committee, but you can come as a citizen based on your experience providing your communication advice, or you can comment in writing, which goes included in the agenda correspondence for that item on the city council meeting. So, but Jennifer is correct. We are trying to discuss future agenda items, and we don't even have anything on the WRF. So,
well,
it's more generic.
But you're right. If it's more generic at any meeting, if several...
So why don't we go ahead and put it in a future... I'd rather see us just make it formal. We're not going to have a WRF report for another 2 months anyway. So why don't we put it on our next agenda to discuss writing up a formal report on all major items or whatever we decide.
At any meeting.
At our next meeting. Just stick it on the agenda. Then we follow the Brown Act and... Because I'm not sure that we want to stand up in city council and recommend that all the boards have written reports. Those other guys may not be interested, right?
Well, I mean, your public comment would be based on just the... Presumably, you could get up and say, as a CFAC member, I would recommend CFAC submit. You could do that. We can agendize it for September. It's not an action item. This week, so then that
yeah,
might
I think
give
we
an
should,
opportunity.
We can agendize it. You're right. Not all other boards may not agree with it. Maybe not all of us will agree with it. Yeah. You know, some of my background has been, if you're taking notes and you have a secretary and you're documenting all this, how many more layers of bureaucracy are you going to add to communicate to people that won't read or understand? That's why I just choose sometimes myself. I'll just come to the meeting and talk to them.
Yeah, the big reason I mentioned it after you, listening to the last city council meeting and then previous one where Red Davis said the CFAC role with regard to WRF financial should be clarified. And John said, yeah, I think I remember that we did that. So I got the actual facts out. So it's a timely thing. And then with Marlis talking to us a couple, 3 months ago, saying we should be reporting to the city council anytime we see things going awry. Hopefully we'll not, but that's our role to be advising the council when we find things by reviewing the financials.
It's not that it's not a conversation and a topic you can take up. You just can't take it up tonight because it wasn't agendized.
Okay, so let's put it on the next meeting. And
yeah, we already do it with Measure Q.
That's correct.
You know, I'm a Navy guy, and we're used to getting the job done as opposed to following the darn rules and losing the war, you know. So, at some point, this, like, no one's going to even complain about this, I would think.
We get letters complaining that we've violated the Brown Act.
Oh, we get them marching up at city council meetings all the time. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's unfortunate, so we have to follow the rules. Not unfortunate, but, you know, it's a fact that I'm sure somebody will look for a loophole. Okay, so this will be on the agenda for next time.
Concept, not just...
Okay. Yes, yeah. The communication vehicle that this group might think it appropriate to follow when wanting to communicate directly to city council, sure. Okay, Jennifer?
Can I add a little bit to that, Barbara?
Let's make sure she's got that done right. Okay.
Well, I want to maybe amend that a little bit. I know you have a concern about who's going to actually do this.
I do, yeah.
And so part of that agenda would be who's going to take the notes. That's number one. And then number two, are we going to need to circulate those notes in a way that other committee members can look at them before they go to the city council? Does that alleviate your concern?
I think that's all in the mechanics of discussing, do we want to do this? Do we think it's necessary? How do we implement it? How do we implement it in such a way it doesn't interfere with Brown Act, et cetera, et cetera. So, yes, that would be included in the action.
So I think we'll keep the agendized topic fairly broad so it doesn't limit what your discussion can be when you do have a conversation about it. And you can talk about any subject being reported back. You can talk about the mechanics of how to do that. And then we'll just have to be cognizant of any Brown Act violations if we start sorting or circulating notes and memos. But the broader the conversation will allow you to have a broader discussion about it, or the broader the agendized item.
Yeah. Now, Homer's correct. He wants to make sure if we put it on the next agenda item, we can discuss it properly. I do want to keep it broad enough so that we're not trying to get into the details at this discussion. So, okay. Anything else? All right. I'll take a motion to adjourn.
Oh, well, I think you'll have the fourth quarter investment report as well.
Oh, okay.
And those are the only two things
that we know of right now.
That I'm aware of at this point.
Fourth quarter as of preliminary budget?
Fourth quarter investment report.
Right, fourth quarter preliminary budget report? No, I'm talking, that was a
preliminary.
You're
looking at year end. We won't close until August 30th, so I'm trying to decide if I can get that on for September. We don't close AP until August 30th.
Right.
And then we chase down what we think is still out there after August 30th.
What about a flash fourth quarter report?
Well, you had a flash one last.
How about a not so flashy one?
I will put it on there and see what we can do.
Thank you.
Yes.
Thank you. Okay, anything else? Meeting adjourned. Thanks. Thank you all.
Our next meeting is September 3rd.
September 17th, I thought it was. What? At 3, yes. A good point.
Okay.